Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. So in the field of digital identity, we tend to talk about technology through the lens of specific use cases. You know, we talk about payment use cases, authentication, fraud protection, account recovery, and why you would want those things in specific instances. So the conversations usually focus on how to prove who someone is in all these scenarios. But lately, another question's been appearing in policy discussions around the world, which is not who are you, but how old are you? Age assurance, the ability to confirm that someone meets a legal age requirement, whatever that looks like in a given jurisdiction, is becoming one of the more complicated intersections of policy, privacy, and digital identity. And if you haven't been digging into this, it probably seems kind of simple. You're just trying to figure out, let someone prove they are old enough to access something, whether that means buying alcohol in person, signing up for social media, or restricting content online, without revealing more personal information than is necessary. Ha, if only it was that easy, right? Age limits already exist across a wide range of activities, buying tobacco, gambling, accessing adult content, in some cases, just even participating in an online platform. The exact rules vary by jurisdiction, of course, but the idea itself is pretty familiar. Protecting children from harm is a very compelling argument almost everywhere. And yet, as soon as you try and enforce these rules online, things get very complicated very quickly. So the first challenge, of course, is what do we mean by age verification and how deep do you go into that? In policy discussions, there are several related terms that get used kind of, I don't want to say interchangeably, but they get used a lot, though they describe different approaches. So age verification usually means confirming a person's age using some kind of authoritative credential, like a driver's license, a passport, or some official document. Age estimation is not age verification, thank you very much, but it's part of age assurance. It's taking a very different path. Instead of confirming age directly, it attempts to infer age probabilistically. Often that involves biometric analysis, like facial recognition systems that estimate a person's age range. Of course, and then the term age assurance is the umbrella term that covers these and several other approaches. The distinction on this matters, right? Verification tends to be highly accurate, but it usually requires linking a user, a specific person, to an identity document. Estimation feels less invasive, but it introduces accuracy challenges and, depending on the implementation, concerns about bias or reliability. I don't even want to touch on AI and deepfakes as a way to get around age estimation at this point, but there you go. Now, most real-world deployments combine multiple technologies in an attempt to balance the different trade-offs. So already we're not dealing with a single technical solution, we're dealing with a whole spectrum of approaches. So the second complication in dealing with age assurance or age verification, however you'd like to look at it, is the regulatory landscape, which is shifting very quickly, right? The age assurance requirements are appearing in legislation around the world. Several U.S. states, for example, have already passed laws requiring age verification to access certain online content. The United Kingdom's Online Safety Act introduces new responsibilities for platforms to protect minors from harmful content. Across Europe, discussions about age assurance are increasingly tied to broader digital identity initiatives, including digital identity wallets and credential frameworks. Australia has already proposed and are implementing similar restrictions around social media access, and there's just more proposals coming every year. The details may vary from place to place, but the direction is pretty clear. Platforms are expected to determine whether users meet age thresholds before granting access to certain services. Which raises the obvious question, how exactly are they supposed to do that? Now, from a technical perspective, there are several possible places where age checks might happen, right? One option is a platform-level verification. And in this model, the service itself asks the user to upload an identity document or submit biometric information in order to confirm their age. Many platforms experiment with this approach today. Another option involves third-party verification providers. So instead of collecting data directly, the platform sends the user to a verification provider that performs the check and returns a confirmation. And the third approach involves digital identity credentials. And in this model, a trusted issuer provides a credential that includes an age attribute. And when needed, the user presents that credential to prove that they meet the required threshold. Of course, then there's a fourth possibility that started to attract policy interest, and that's placing the age assurance closer to the browser or device layer, allowing software intermediaries to mediate those checks. Now, each of these architectures have different implications for privacy, interoperability, and deployability, and none of them are trivial to implement at internet scale. Age assurance also sits within a surprisingly broad standards ecosystem, right? Some frameworks are out there that exist that focus purely on governance. So standards like the IEEE's 2089 series, that outlines principles for age-appropriate digital services and age verification systems. I've heard mixed reviews on how useful that is. That said, other standards out there focus on identity proofing. There are European specifications such as ETCTS 119461, which defines requirements for remote identity verification aligned with the eIDAS regulatory framework. There are biometric systems that rely on standards addressing presentation attack detection, essentially determining whether a biometric sample comes from a real person rather than a photograph or a deep fake. And that has lots of implications for whether you can do an age assurance correctly or not. And of course, there are familiar privacy standards focused on protecting personal data during the verification process. And you have to take all of those together, which should, you know, highlight something pretty important, and that is age assurance isn't actually a single technical problem. It touches on identity proofing, biometrics, privacy engineering, and regulatory compliance all at the same time. There is a practical reality to consider here, too. Existing age restrictions are often actually pretty easy to bypass. Most platforms today rely on self-reported birth dates. If you ever watched a 12-year-old set up an account online, you probably know how effective that approach tends to be, which is not at all. Research looking at children's social media use has found that a large majority of children under 13 still manage to create accounts despite formal platform restrictions. That gap between policy and practice is one of the reasons that stronger age verification systems are being proposed, but stronger verification introduces a different set of challenges, right? Many of the proposed systems require users to upload identity documents, submit biometric scans, or otherwise share personal information, and civil liberties organizations have raised concerns that these mechanisms could create centralized repositories of sensitive identity data, basically a honeypot. When the intention is to protect minors, poorly designed verification systems could introduce a whole new set of risks, including, you know, those of data breaches, identity theft, or unintended surveillance. Actually, I don't suppose those are new risks. Those are existing risks, but now we're applying those risks to people underage. So the challenge then is obviously not just about verifying the age. It's about verifying the age without creating a permanent record of who accessed what online, which turns out to be a surprisingly difficult design problem. Now that's where some of the digital identity technologies start to enter into the conversation. One promising idea involves cryptographic credentials that allow selective disclosure of attributes. Instead of presenting a full identity document, a user might present a cryptographic proof that simply confirms a statement like age is greater than or equal to 18. That's it. No name, no address, no ID number, just the attribute needed for the transaction. Mobile driver's licenses and other verifiable credential systems are exploring exactly this kind of functionality, and in theory, these systems could enable privacy-preserving age verification. However, several challenges remain. Questions about, well, did you trust the issuer? Is this a system where the credential could be revoked? What about the device security? Is this whole thing interoperable with another ecosystem, right? All of these still need to be resolved before these systems can be widely deployed. Even when the technology works, the incentive for adoptions might not always be clear, right? Platforms need solutions that are reliable, affordable, and easy to integrate. Governments often have their own expectations about assurance levels, and users, unsurprisingly, tend to prefer systems that do not add friction to their online experience. This is like that you famous thing of you have to pick two out of three because you can't get all three. We don't really know how to do this in a way that actually works for everybody. But wait, there's more. There's also a broader policy dynamic worth considering, right? Age verification is often framed as a child safety issue, and that's really difficult to argue against. But the infrastructure required to enforce age restrictions can reshape how identity systems operate just entirely across the internet. Once a system exists that can verify age attributes, it becomes technically possible to use that same infrastructure for other kinds of eligibility checks, like voting eligibility or location restrictions or professional certifications or any number of other attributes. And none of these uses are necessarily inappropriate, but they do illustrate how infrastructure designed for one purpose can gradually take on additional roles and responsibilities. Once that infrastructure exists, the pressure will be to reuse it for problems that look similar, which will gradually expand the scope of what it was meant to do, usually in the name of efficiency. This is not unusual in technology systems. Capabilities tend to accumulate, and over time, systems built to solve a narrow problem often evolve into broader platform services. Now, if you're an identity professional, that raises some interesting questions, right? The issue goes far beyond just how to verify age. It extends into the cost, both financial and architectural, of building the infrastructure required. Because once a verification system becomes embedded in the fabric of the web, it begins to shape how identity is mediated online, which actors are performing the verification, which credentials are trusted, which intermediaries become essential, and how privacy expectations involved. And these decisions there all have long lifespans, some much longer than the policies originally motivated them, which in turn means you're going to have to design systems that are pretty heavy, probably expensive, and therefore you'll go back to being asked to use them for more things than they were originally intended. Now, it doesn't mean that age assurance is inherently problematic. I mean, protecting minors online is a legitimate and widely shared goal, but the technical and policy decisions made today are going to shape the architecture of identity systems beyond age verification for years and years to come. The decisions will involve trade-offs. You're going to get accuracy versus privacy. You're going to get centralization versus interoperability. You're going to get convenience versus security. And you're going to have the issue of short-term compliance versus long-term infrastructure. For organizations that may soon face age assurance requirements, a few principles are worth keeping in mind. First, please collect as little data as you possibly can. Data minimization should remain a core design principle no matter what you're doing. Second, where possible, prefer attribute proofs over identity disclosure. Do not hoard data. Do not develop a honeypot. Confirm the necessary fact without exposing unrelated information. Third, like I said, avoid creating centralized databases of age verification events whenever possible, because these systems introduce significant privacy and security risk. And finally, recognize that age assurance works best when it exists within a broader ecosystem that includes digital literacy, parental support, thoughtful regulation, and platform accountability. Because just the technology of are you able to automatically determine are they of legal age, that's not sufficient. It's necessary, but not sufficient to actually solve a complex social problem. Age assurance is rapidly becoming one of the more interesting intersections of identity privacy and internet governance. And for those working in digital identity, it may also be a preview of the next phase of how identity systems interact with the web itself. And like many identity challenges, the technical solution may turn out to be the easier part. The harder part is deciding everything else that society will need to actually make this work properly and how we're going to govern it all when it's there. Thanks for your time. Looking forward to you coming back next week. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at sphericalcowconsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.